Well, that's the way it went Friday on the Fall Riviera with Craig Breslow. But I wonder if that, if we were there this morning and that introduction was happening, would it have been a different response from the diehards?
No, I still think it'd be the same.
You sure?
Yeah.
I think they changed some minds over the weekend.
No, because he didn't win the game. He didn't win the game. His narrative was that he was supposed to try to get something done. I don't agree with it. I think actually Craig handled it in stride. Yeah. Like, we've had people on this show before that I think would have hung up once they started booing. But I think that they still would have booed this morning.
Good morning.
Even though they won the game, I agree with Curtis. It just makes them, or they swept the series, it makes people go, man, imagine if you would have did this and got, player X.
I don't know that have you been paying attention to the text line? There are a lot of people who are like, listen, we were in on this team. We didn't want to screw with the chemistry, and they did the exact right thing.
Can we stop it with the chemistry? There's no sport on the planet that is a team sport that is less chemistry related to it than baseball.
But that was the narrative when they got rid of Raffy too.
Yeah, but Brez,
the whole chemistry thing.
Brez said the chemistry for the Raffy thing was true because it was negative chemistry, and he knows how much that can affect the clubhouse. But when it's
Manny Ramirez didn't show up for a series against the Yankees.
He even alluded to it wasn't about chemistry because everybody was on the table. So you know that the chemistry part isn't really to play, because when he's like, there wasn't nobody that we wouldn't deal if, it was a good enough package to put together.
And the other thing is you look at Giolito after the game is, of course, not going to be mad about it because he's number two starter right now. If they have Joe Ryan, he's not the number two starter. He doesn't want there to be another starter in the rotation.
Well, Bale's number two, Giolito's.
Okay, whatever. Then he's a four starter instead of a three starter. Listen, it was a great weekend. They pitched well. The team is likable despite their bosses, and it's good for us if they keep winning. Crochet's innings limit is going to be the story of the second half. How they manage him, they've already, pushed him out from Saturday. I think he's starting tomorrow night, Tuesday night against the Royals at Fenway. And if they have a loss, or 2-3 losses in the spot where they're trying to extend the period in between starts for Crochet, you can directly tie that to Joe Ryan.
Yes, but that August drop-off, which has happened frequently in the past, if they avoid that, you have to look at this baseball team and go, all right, this is a team that, all I'm told, Curtis, every year is you just got to get in the playoffs and anybody can win it.
Last year's Red Sox team was 61-52. This year's team is 62-51. We're talking about it like it's light years apart. They're literally a game difference at this exact spot. So the season will be defined by the next, 50 games. And I think the one thing Cora learned from Francona, which is you never have enough pitching.
But it looked a little different last year because the first 15 games after the All-Star break, last year they were 6-9. This year they're 9-6, so they look a little bit better. They're on another 5-game win streak or something along those lines. So it does look a little bit different.
They have the best record in Major League Baseball since Roman Anthony came up. They have a great record since they made the Devers trade.
I think the biggest thing with them isn't really going to be if they get on a little bit of a bumpy road, like if they lose three straight, and it's going to be how did you lose those three straight? Did Giolito and Bayo give you good outings, and then your bullpen might have had some issues, or your offense wasn't there? Did you in the first game of the series against Houston, pitching's great, but your hitting's not there, and you're able to win in walk-off fashion, right? And so is it a game like that where you look at it and go, all right, pitching was good, the bullpen was good, but the bats weren't going?
Does it also look bad that they waited so long for Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer? Because we asked that question week after week when Craig Breslow came on. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? And it was we're waiting to make sure that they don't feel too much pressure or they make sure that they can handle it. Clearly they can handle it. And now that they've had such a great run with them up here, obviously, Marcelo's dealing with injury, but does it look bad that they waited so long, or does it look like they hit it at the right time?
I don't know, because I was not somebody who felt like you should try to avoid putting pressure on right. somebody right. who's going to be a major league.
Well, Breslow fired the scout that found Roman Anthony. So.
But like Curtis, you're the baseball guy. Should they have called them up earlier?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because the team has played better with them on the roster, right? So yes. if they had come yes. up earlier, theoretically, you would hope that the team would have started playing better sooner rather than later. Maybe they would have been better at the trade deadline than they were if they had brought them up earlier.
But I think the thing is that's why the Devers trade, people were saying, well, you could have held on to him to the trade deadline. You probably couldn't have, because then does that mess with the chemistry of here's where we want Roman Anthony to be? And, well, because Devers is DH and it's a little bit more, it's a
but
little
hotter. You
can't
hotter. Worry about the chemistry aspect when you're talking about bringing a guy up. Like, in my mind, it seems like he fit in perfectly once he got here. So that doesn't matter to me. It's more so, were they dealing with him with kid gloves for too long instead of just saying, this guy's ready to go?
Right, but they might not have been able to get him in the lineup like they wanted because Devers is there, right? That was what everybody was telling me. Well, if you eliminate Devers because Devers don't want to play the field, that opens up the DH. So then maybe you're able to put Roman Anthony at the DH and you're still able to play Duran in the outfield and all those things. And when you have Devers who wasn't willing to do that, now that clogs up where you could potentially put him.
603 text, completely disagree with Curtis and his chemistry is crap take. This isn't football where you take 10 flights to weekend games. Going out on the road for 80 games with guys you don't like absolutely impacts the performance of a team.
So, how?
well, I mean, I don't know. Did you feel like the chemistry was a factor when Kevin Millar was here and they won a series?
No, or 2013.
I think John Lackey and 2013 Red Sox, no. I think when teams win, they're all happy because why would you be mad at each other? It's chicken or the egg. Like, did the 03 team have worse chemistry than the 04 team? No. I mean, Kevin Millar did a great job. I think Kevin Millar's greatest strength was that he was the front-facing guy because guys like Manny didn't want to deal with it, and he took it on himself to go tell Shaughnessy, don't let us win today. He was the front-facing guy when other people weren't ready to do that or didn't want to.
This is Tim from Hanover. Tim, what's up?
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I just want to say, man, they got rid of the money, man. They got rid of Devers. You don't have to mess with the chemistry, but you do have to add a good starting pitcher to try and win a championship. They're not doing that. They're just going to the playoffs and calling it good. Try and win the championship and spend the money to get the guy if you really want to win a championship.
They just swept the Astros and won a series against the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the better teams in Major League Baseball. As much as you want to, you can't deny that.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot deny that is what they have done.
Well, the difference is going to be this, because we're all talking about this year versus last year. So if you just kind of look at the numbers from last year. So last year for the month of July, they were 13-11. This year, they're 17-7. In August last year, they were 13-15. They're already started out 3-0. Now, it's going to be interesting to see where they finish August record-wise. So if they can put another record similar to what they did in July where, they're 17-7 or they're, 6, 7, 8, 10 games above 500 when August is over, then you start to look and go, that's the difference. Because if you look at where they struggle, and I've done this before as a lead, Alex Cora's teams have struggled August and September, him as a manager. If he can then turn that around, that's going to be the biggest takeaway that we look at it. And right now we're only three games in, so we still have to see, can they do much better in the month of August than they did last year?
This is Bob from Warwick, Rhode Island. What's up, Bob?
Yeah, I'd like to know if the Red Sox have decided to print up World Series tickets.
Oh, God, it's this Bob. Can somebody tell me when Bob is calling, please?
I don't know why we're – I don't know. I thought we said we're not even going to put him on hold anymore. I don't understand why he was even on hold in the first place.
At least he didn't say that he hates the Red Sox.
Yeah,
we
didn't
let him. He was probably going to get to that, though.
Yeah, he was getting that.
No, they're not printing World Series tickets yet. I don't think anybody is. They will probably print them in advance of the World Series.
Yeah. Do they even print them anymore? You
no,
just get it
no,
in your phone.
Really. You
can get them digitally.
Poor Bob was on hold for a long time to get that one out.
Bob probably still runs down, I would guess, to the ticket office and see, you know, takes a look at what's available.
I don't know if
he's
running anywhere.
You don't think
so?
Could be.
Also, can
slow
I say,
pace.
Wiggy just brought up Jaren Duran. I love that guy, but he hurt my feelings over the weekend.
Why?
There was a Red Sox TikTok, and the social media team had like a question posted as people walked in. They always do this, and it was like, how old is old?
Mm-hmm.
Jaren Duran. Anyone born in their 90s? Chose violence.
Oh, damn.
Absolutely.
So you off his hall pass, smashless.
No. Well, I mean.
You're too old for him.
Yeah. You're too old. You're getting up there. I hate to break it to you.
33, I know.
Yeah, but 33 is old now.
According to Jaren Duran.
To the youngins, will tell you, like, what's an unk and auntie? Then as soon as you hit your 30s, you are officially an auntie now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was born in the 90s, too, so he considers himself old, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to what is trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox sweep the Astros in their weekend series, leapfrogging the Yankees to take that number 2 spot in the AL East. Now just 3 games back from the Blue Jays. 6-1 was the final yesterday with Lucas Giolito going 8 innings, giving up a run on 3 hits while striking out 4. The Royals now in town for the Sox, 7-10 first pitch from Fenway with Brian Baio taking the mound. Brooksy joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Over to basketball, where Luka Doncic signed a 3-year, $165 million contract extension that brings his salary through 2028-29 to $206.8 million with the Lakers. And over to the Patriots, we've got practice today, 10:15 start. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel at 10 a.m. I'm sure Jones and Keith will have that for all of you listening. That's what's trending. We have your Hill Notes coming up.